Tonight's podcast is brought to you by no one.
Because we're not drunk enough for this bullshit.
Not at all. To that magical time of week that is known as the Good Old Gamers Podcast. It is June 6th, year of our Lord 2016. I'm Lyle McClendon. I'm joined, as always, Brandon Gentry.
Yeah, fuck yourself, everyone.
He's back in the spirit. Yeah.
Not nearly drunk enough for this bullshit.
No. It is a Monday evening. We are...
the worst of all evenings.
Yes. The dreaded Monday.
Someone's got a case of the Mondays.
Well, I got my flare on. How about you?
You got my Ric Flair on.
No, man. Shit, no. Pretty sure you'd get your ass kicked for that. As of recording right now, we're a little under 4 days away until the Southern Fried Game Room Expo. Yep.
I think you need to talk to your mic more. Yeah. Get your point.
Eat it more.
Yeah. Position it like you're sucking it like a big old dick.
We're a little under 4 days away from the goal. Yep. Southern Fried Game Room Expo.
Yeah.
Mucho excited.
Yeah, by the time a lot of y'all hear this, we'll be on the road.
Indeed. We're hitting the road Friday morning.
Well, we'll talk about it later. What time we're leaving.
We'll get in that. It's time for the news, though.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you gather?
I suppose so.
Neo Geo is dropping some releases this week for iOS and Android.
Oh boy, shitty phone games.
Neo Turf Masters is going to be appearing on iOS and Android. It's supposed to be a direct port of the arcade Neo Turf Masters. And I was on Steam, Twinkle Star Sprites is available on Steam. And there was one more they were... yeah, that's it for Neo Geo. Yeah, Twinkle Star Sprites is on Steam and Neo Turf Masters is on iOS and Android. Seeing those probably be available by the time you hear this.
And Twinkle Star Sprites is pretty damn fun.
It is.
You introduced me to that. That was pretty hectic. It's like a two-player vertical shooter. Basically, you try to outshoot each other.
It gets, hey, you're able to chain together like crazy fucking combos and shit.
Yeah, and it's not a co-op, it's versus.
Yeah.
Except, like, you're not shooting each other, you're shooting other shit.
The whole point of that is to simply fuck the other player.
Yeah.
Until they die or get frustrated and give up.
It's supposed to fuck them to death. Fuck them till they die.
That's the campaign slogan around here.
Yeah.
But you should check those out, they're both really fun. Neo Turf Masters may be decent on a phone. It's a golf game, so I mean...
yeah.
You can't fuck a golf game up too much, surely. I mean, you could,
yeah.
But hopefully
maybe they can
won't.
Do it. Sega's 1989 Master System Classic, Wonder Boar 3, The Dragon's Trap, is making a full-fledged remake for consoles and PC.
I've seen that.
Yep. So that'll be pretty sweet, I hope. Hopefully don't get sagged up too much.
I seen the, was it the art they revealed? Like a teaser piece of art or something? I saw that. That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Romancing Saga 2, which was a Japanese-only Squaresoft SNES game, is getting a release on iOS, or a remake release on iOS and Android. So
I don't know anything about that game.
I don't really know a lot either. I've seen it before, like I've seen the actual game, but as far as playing it and knowing anything about storyline or any of that, I'm clueless.
Well, better get ready with a round of applause for this news, because the former Diablo 3 director Jay Wilson is leaving Blizzard after a decade of ruining the company. Yeah.
I know that makes you very excited.
God, yes. He is the one who destroyed Diablo 3. It wasn't until he left Diablo 3 that it got better. Everything he's touched there has just been ruined. So I'm glad he's going to pursue writing. He can go ruin books. I don't give a shit.
Prince is dead.
Yep. So, yeah. Bye, Jay. We'll not miss you. Maybe Blizzard will start making good games now.
Maybe so.
Maybe.
Have you played Overwatch yet?
I haven't yet. I almost bought it. I was like, nah, last time I bought a brand new game from Blizzard, it ended badly. So
I've heard a lot of positive things about it.
I have too. I'm just going to wait.
But I've quickly discovered my taste in games is vastly different from everybody else a lot of the times. They're doing a Final Fantasy XII remake.
Yeah.
They announced Final Fantasy XII, the Zodiac Age, I think is the name of it.
Yeah.
I seen that today.
I've missed out on that train altogether.
I don't know anything about Final Fantasy XII. Up until X's about where I kind of... I really don't know about anything after 10.
I played 11. I tried to play 11 a lot, but I was convinced that the game was good, and I just wasn't great at it or something. It's not that game just sucks. That's the first Final Fantasy MMO. And 13, I played 13. I like 13 all right. I mean, it's got its flaws, but it's a decent game. And 14 is the other MMO, and God, it's so fucking boring. I was convinced that, again, that I was going to like it, because I had friends playing it and stuff, and I was literally falling asleep playing it, so I'm like, fuck, I'm not paying monthly fee for this bullshit.
I don't blame you. No sense in paying for something that you don't fully fucking enjoy.
Right.
There has been a fan hack, a ROM hack of Ocarina of Time, and somebody has made it where you can do a four-player co-op mode, similar to the Four Swords Adventures.
Huh.
But it allows you to play four players on Ocarina of Time.
That's gnarly.
I want to find out some more information about it and maybe download it and check it out. That could be a fun party game of some sort, possibly.
Yeah, it depends on how the camera is done.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was bad enough in Ocarina at times.
Could you imagine having a four-player split-screen Ocarina?
Yeah. Or trying to fit them all on one screen.
No, thank you.
Pokemon Sun and Moon's new Pokedex was revealed.
I've seen
and
that.
And it is a Pokemon itself. And it looks fucking stupid and horrible.
What's the new region called?
I don't recall.
I seen the on the trailer. It's
the Douche Islands, I think. It's based on Hawaii. But yeah, it's a breed of Rotom, which I guess is basically the new retarded version of Polygon. Or is that the name?
Porygon.
Porygon. Yeah. The English Polygon. it is.
It is.
Porygon. But yeah, it's so now every time you look at your Pokedex, you're gonna have this annoying bullshit Pokemon talk to you and try to be all cutesy. Have you looked at the newer art for Pokemon? Like, they made the Pokeballs way smaller than they used to, like in comparison to the people holding them. I don't know, they're going for more cutesy bullshit, trying to get back their fans lost that's been bled off to that Yo-Kai Watch bullshit. But god damn it, tired of it.
I'm sure, you know. Of course, it's being a Pokemon game. It'll sell million plus fucking copies. But Steverson, maybe you could correct me on this.
He will.
It just like I watched the trailer for Pokemon Sun and Moon, and it looks like it, but it doesn't feel like a Pokemon game. If that makes sense, which I'm biased, I guess, because I'm still. When I quit playing Pokemon, there were still 151.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's definitely not the fucking case anymore.
I really don't know what they could have done to evolve the series without adding the ridiculous amount of stupid Pokemon that they have. I mean, they're kind of in a pickle there regarding that, so I'll give them that much, but I just don't like how convoluted it is now. I don't like how many Pokemans there are. Or maybe limited by game, I don't go into a game and find all fucking 8,000 Pokemon. Maybe these 150, 160 are only in this game.
Yeah, that's something I've wondered. Like in X and Y and shit, like, is the original 151 in that game?
Yeah,
as
the way
well?
They've done it is like the different regions, you'll have all your different Pokemon, but once you beat the Elite Four, you can go to all the different regions and basically get any Pokemon. So, okay. Basically, every game's contained the previous games, because usually, at least the ones I remember, you can also go back and fight the old gyms and stuff, and that's cool, just to be able to have that big of a world to explore, but it's too much.
I did see a video the other day where it was showing you how to take your Generation 1 Pokemon, if you still had them on your original Game Boy, and like move them up all the way up.
Oh yeah, our buddy Juice, he played it from Gen 1 all the way up to Pearl and Diamond on the DS, and that's how he did it. He didn't do just all in one go. He did it naturally over time. You know, he had his Pokemon. Then the GBA ones came out. You know, the GBAs, the original ones, you could put a Game Boy game in there, and the GBA game, and you could transfer Pokemon there. And he transferred all his old Pokemon to the new games. Then he did the same with the DS, the GBA games up to the DS. And then I don't recall if his game got fucked or he lost it or fucking dog ate it. I don't know, but he lost like fucking 10, 15 years of Pokemon. And he's like, I'm done. I'm not doing Pokemon again after that.
No shit. Oh, dude, that would be heartbreaking.
To lose the Pokemon he caught as a child. That would suck.
Your original Pokemon.
Yeah, I mean, even gone. Though they're technically not original, but...
Well, yeah, but gone like a whisper.
Yeah. Okay, the whisper and snatch.
A whisker biscuit. The only other thing I have is... surprise, surprise! More Ghostbusters woes!
Oh, yay!
Director Judd Apatow, who has done... he done, like, Knocked Up... Walk Hard, all those kinds of movies. He's
a real intellectual heavyweight.
Yeah, he's the Seth Rogen. He done a lot of writing like on Freaks and Geeks and shit like that back in the day. I mean, he's done some cool stuff, but he come out and said that he believes that the people that are a good majority of the people that are trash talking the new Ghostbusters movie are also Trump supporters.
Yeah.
Has a lot. I mean, I get it, you know, Trump's a sexist fucking pig dick licker, you know, and whatever, and you're a sexist if you don't like the new Ghostbusters movie, and blah, blah, blah. I've been called sexist twice for not liking it, and I'm just like...
Eat a dick.
Eat a fucking cornucopia of fucking cocks. Well, I hope a plethora of Thanksgiving dick awaits you. Like, the pilgrims bring you a boatload of dick.
I know we've ran about this many times, but the whole concept of this movie is fucking sexist. It's pandering. I don't mind, like, we've mentioned many times, I'm totally cool with female leads and, you know, female cast. That's all fucking fine. Why don't you give them their own good, legitimate movie instead of doing this pandering-ass bullshit?
Well, look at the way they did Furiosa. In Mad Max Fury Road.
That was great.
That movie was centered around her.
Yeah.
But it was still within the fucking confines of the original Mad Max universe.
Right.
That is what they should have done. And I hate to admit it because I've been real adamant in saying that I won't pay and we'll go watch it. I'm probably going to, just for the simple fact of, it's kind of like voting, I guess. Like, I don't mind paying the fucking $10 to watch the movie, if that gets people off my ass where I have legitimate ground to watch the movie and just be like, this is why this fucking sucks.
Pirate Bay.
Right here, land button. You know,
cat.cr.
BitTorrent, BitTorrent. You know, but in all seriousness though, I probably will go watch it just so I have that right to gripe about it. And who knows? Like I said, Dan Aykroyd come out last week praising the film. But I'm like, you know, Dan Aykroyd also praised the movie Coneheads he was in.
Yeah.
And My Girl. And I like I like Ghostbusters a lot, and I respect what Dan Aykroyd does, but, you know, at the same time, I look at Dan Aykroyd, and I imagine he shows up on set, and he's like, ho, 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 I'm the destroyer of good comedy everywhere. Ho.
And he's also, like, in the sunset of his career. Like, what he does now is people are going to view all his legacy through that lens, you know? So if he's seen as a sexist douchebag, people are going to view everything he's ever done through that lens. So, I don't know if that had anything to do with it. Maybe he really liked it. He could have. I don't fucking know. But
well, I mean, you know, he supported... He's just... Dan Aykroyd's always kind of been like the... He's always been kind of like the common ground for the Ghostbusters movies, because he's tried for 20 years to get that shit up and off the ground. And, you know, of course, he's cameoing it and all that. It really bothers me that, you know, you can't have a fucking opinion about a movie. And by your opinion being that I don't give a shit that there's women in it. I love women. I like titties. Mm-hmm.
I jerk off to women all the time. I love them.
And not being sexist at all. Not trying to be sexist. But, you know, I appreciate women. My wife's awesome. She does a lot of cool shit for me. You know, I'd be fucked up if I didn't have her, you know, and I'm appreciative that I do have her. And that's fine. I like female leads and shit, but when you can't cope for the fact that you can't write a decent fucking story, you know, you remake the movie, a movie that's Ghostbusters 3 has been trying to get made for almost 30 fucking years now. And you have that long to come up with a storyline, and you decide just to remake and rehash the original.
It would have been a little more acceptable. They would have been like, okay, this is a third continuation. This is all their daughters.
I would have been completely fine with that, because I understand the fact that time passage is real, and people get fucking old, and, you know, nobody wants to see the geriatric Ghostbusters. I don't want to see them, their pacemaker get fucked up because they're using a proton pack, right? You know? I would be completely fine with, like, a passing of the torch thing. You know, that's one of the main bitching points about this movie, is everybody's like, they would have just passed the torch. What gets me ill about it is, like, in the trailer, they show the firehouse. They're not in the firehouse in this movie. They show you all these nods to the original to make you think that it's in that universe. And they're using that shit as a fucking selling point,
mm-hmm.
you know, to a degree. And it just, it's fucked. That's all I'm going to say about it until I see it again. Because there's going to be nothing but woes about this movie until it comes out. There's all kinds of backlash already.
And, you know, it's saying about criticizing it, how you can't criticize this movie. It's like a perfect plan almost. Like, you either like it or you're sexist. And it goes with the culture these days. Everybody is, we was talking about this earlier, everyone is always offended and outraged about something. You know, a month ago it was fucking bathrooms. Now it's a goddamn gorilla. You know, it's only
in a week it'll be something fucking different.
Yeah, because everyone loves to feel that indignant, you know, outrage, that righteous indignation. They don't really realize that they're getting played by fucking BuzzFeed and these bullshit outrage porn bullshit sites. But yeah, whatever.
The only other thing I'm going to say to bitch about Ghostbusters is I cannot find Ecto Cooler anywhere. It's been out since the 30th, and you can't fucking find it.
It's probably for the best, because it's probably going to be like Surge. You're going to drink it and be like, this isn't nearly as good as I recall.
I don't know. Ecto Cooler always hit a real special spot with me. I drank that until they discontinued it in
really?
Like 2008. Yeah. It was good. Real good to mix vodka with.
I bet. Well, I had a couple bits of non-Ghostbusters news.
I'm sorry.
That's cool. That's what we're here for. The airing of the grievances. It's Festivus every day here at Good Old Gamers.
It is.
Blood
pressure spikes every fucking day.
We'll have the feats of strength later.
Yep.
Some Russian fans, they're developers from Studio Frontwire Studios. I don't know if they made this studio just for this or they're already developers. But they got the go-ahead from Valve, or the backing of Valve, to rebuild and release the never-released game of Star Wars Battlefront 3.
I seen that today.
I don't know how that's going to go, because, you know, Disney being the holder of the IP and EA being the holder of the Battlefront IP, either one of them could tell them to fuck right off, and they wouldn't have much choice but to fuck right off. The only fight that chance they stand is making it completely free. They can't make any money off of it to have any chance of it getting through.
You're dealing with two of the biggest corporations in media.
I'll be very surprised if this thing gets past an alpha build. Because, especially with Disney, there's such copyright whores. They're one of the reasons why our copyright laws are so fucked. Like, their main character, Mickey Mouse, he should have been public domain fucking years ago, but they've always been lobbying Congress to extend these dates and shit. I can't recall the actual cutoff that copyrights originally were set for, but it's been extended way past them, and Disney's a big part of it. They're big-time abusers of this copyright bullshit, so I'll be very surprised if this comes to see the light of day, at least on an official platform like Steam. Yeah. You might, go to shadygaming.net or some place like that and find it released there, where they skip servers every couple months to avoid lawyers. Another bit of news I have is APB Reloaded. It's been launched on the Xbox One, which is, I don't know how it's going to play on there, but APB Reloaded is pretty much, it's GTA Online, but it's only online, and it's a lot more competitive than Grand Theft Auto. Like, Grand Theft Auto is more sandboxy. APB is it's mission-based. Pretty much all there is to do is just dick around in cars and stuff. You can run over pedestrians. It's not, it's not a big deal like in GTA. Or you can do missions, and you can either be a cop or you can be enforcers and criminals is what they're called. The enforcers are the generic cops, like volunteer cops almost. Then there's the criminals, and it's very fast Twitch-based gameplay. I don't know how well it will translate to the Xbox, because I could not imagine playing this on a controller. It'd be so fucking miserable on a controller, because it is so fast-paced. It's like it's almost got that Quake style, just really fucking fast gameplay to it. And it's also got the really low time to kill, like in your Call of Duties and stuff. So there's not much room for error in it if you want to be competitive at all. And I guess the only saving grace of being on the Xbox One is everybody's going to be on controllers, so everyone's going to be sluggish and inaccurate.
Everybody's got the same handicap, pretty much.
I've enjoyed the game on and off over the years. I've spent way too much money on it. I know that this is one thing the Xbox crowd will not enjoy at all, is the cost of the microtransactions. I saw it as a way where I'd pay like $15-$20 bucks a month while I played it heavily, and I'd get me a gun here and there. But the way the game works, you can unlock guns just by playing the game. But those guns are rentals. You can get a 30-day rental or like a 2-week rental or a 60-day rental, and cost you the in-game cash. Or you can, spend, some of these guns are $20, $30 each, but you get them permanently. You don't want to spend your in-game cash on them. So it's steep. If you go at it from the way I did it, it wasn't that bad. $20 every month or every other month or something. And you can, over time, you can amass a decent armory of permanent weapons that way. But still, for a microtransaction, that's fucking steep.
Yeah.
$15-$20 bucks for a gun.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I never had a huge problem with it. Because this game isn't really pay to win. You're not going to go in there and buy a rocket launcher and then just wreck shit, because you can't. Most of the guns you can get are balanced, and you can unlock competitive guns pretty quickly. So, if you like that kind of game, check it out. If you want to try it on the PC, I wouldn't mind trying to get back into it for a little while. I ran a small clan, just me and my friends. We were the dick unit. Nice. Deputized international criminal killers. So I got all my vehicles. The custom, something else I didn't touch on. The customization of the game is bar none, like the best. You can make your guy look like however the fuck you want. Tattoos, custom paint jobs on your cars, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's extremely fucking detailed. I've seen so many weird ass vehicles and people, like one guy I grouped with for a while, He made his guy look just like a fucking Domino's delivery guy, and his car looked just like a Domino's delivery car. So,
nice.
Yeah. He's always dropping cheesy lines like, delivery. I was right around the dick unit, and, you know, dick units all over my, painted all over my vehicle, all SWAT style. And I would just, in between missions, I would just go troll people with my big SUVs and just ram them with it. And be like, yeah, you're getting rammed with the dick unit.
Nice.
It was fun, though. The community is fucking toxic, though. So it's best played with friends. 99% of the people in this game cannot handle losing. They will accuse you of hacking, cheating, using cheap tactics, whatever. And there is some of that, but for the most part, it's just toxic assholes who can't handle a loss.
Blame everything but their fucking shitty game plan ability.
Yep.
Nice. I do have one other thing I want to throw in before we go, just out of sheer fucking comedy, because it got announced a few days ago. Konami has announced a Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater pachinko machine.
Nice.
Thank you, Blonami.
Yeah.
I knew that shit was going to happen. I guess that's all for news.
That's all for news.
Oh, I'm an ill-prepared motherfucker this evening.
I am, too.
I got a little bit I just want to briefly talk about. We've been on doing the...
You know, something we should talk about, because you're about to talk about some of the fried some, aren't you?
I was just going to touch on it. I was going to do a What's in Your Hands briefly.
Well, since this is kind of news, too, we should announce that... not next episode, but the episode after, where we're not recording. What we talked about is releasing a completely unedited version of last week's episode, because it was about 3 hours plus. So if you want to listen to that and hear all the drunken ramblings, you can. If not, skip it, and we'll be back the week after.
Yeah, we're working on our very first sequel episode. You diehard fans will be happy to know that the next episode, other than the unedited one, that you get after this one, you'll be getting the scootening.
Yep,
part two. So we're going to scoot our asses back down to Atlanta this weekend.
Yep.
We'll talk some more about that shortly. I wanted to just kind of do a small What's in Your Hands this evening based on something I acquired this week.
Well, What's in My Hand is rather small anyways.
So. I can smell it from here.
Oh, yeah.
I acquired a Sega Nomad this past week. It
is very sexy.
Pretty exciting.
Very, very large and girthy.
It is very large and jarred.
It was throbbing in my hands.
If you are familiar, a Sega Nomad was one of the last handheld consoles that Sega put out. If not the last. It was meant to succeed the Game Gear.
Yeah.
And... it pretty much, it's a portable Sega Genesis.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
It actually even has the ability to hook the Nomad to the TV and daisy chain a second controller to the Nomad, where you can actually use the Nomad as a controller and a second one and play on your television.
You can figure out a way to put the power base converter in it.
I tried putting my 32X on it last night, and the 32X fit, but where you got to plug the AV out cable in, it's right next to the cartridge slot. So okay. There's not enough room for the cable to fit underneath.
So you'd have to break apart your shell and stuff. Yeah. And pretty much ruin a Nomad.
It would work. But you would have... Yeah, you'd have to do that. So there's no way. I'm assuming the power base converter would be the same way.
You could put it in a Jaguar shell. It'd be a whole new console.
I could. I got a buddy I could call. I could probably nab 1,500 to 2,000 of those Jaguar shells.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he is cleaning the dirt out from underneath his fingernails right now in a basement somewhere, putting lotion on his skin and back in the basket again.
I have a feeling a lot of kids in the neighborhood is getting Jaguar shells for Halloween.
Probably. He's like,
trick or treat, here you go, you little shits.
Here's a red candy apple Jaguar. I'm like, we never heard of a Jaguar. Yeah, welcome to retro. And slams the door in their face. Here's a bunch of back order retro magazines.
Here's a bunch of lies and broken dreams.
This is a Super Nintendo board. I don't know where the case is, so we're going to put it in. You get the world's only Coleco Chameleon prototype. Anyways, I got the Nomad. I had a Nomad the year they came out. My grandparents for Christmas one year bought me and my brother both Nomads.
Nice.
And I kept it for about a year, and I had a Genesis, and I didn't have a Game Gear, and I ended up trading my Nomad like an idiot to a guy at school for a Game Gear and a shit ton of games, which I still have today. But
I want to get my hands on a Game Gear one day.
They're pretty cool to have.
Yeah.
Talk to me after the show if you're interested in buying one. I know a guy that's got two carrying cases, two TV tuners, and about 30 games. He's wanting $50 for all of it.
I might have to do that sometimes.
We might could do a split package deal later down the road or something. But Nomad's really cool for what it is. It's got the 6-button Genesis layout on it, which is awesome, actually, to play Street Fighter 2 on. When I had my Nomad back in the day, I played a shit ton of Street Fighter 2 on there.
Now, did the Nomad have a link cable of any kind?
Let us look.
I wouldn't imagine it would.
It did not. Unless you could use AV out to something.
Yeah, because they would have to program the games to use that link cable. So, I never owned one, so that's why I'm asking. Oh, there's another controller.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So that's how you can play a two-player.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
See, it's got the AV out on top.
Yeah.
And all you do is just run that to the TV.
Well, that's just the typical Genesis hookup there, I suppose.
That's actually going to... It is. It is. Yeah. That's going to be going with us to Southern Fried.
Nice.
That'd be good for the room if we get bored and want to play some Sega Genesis.
Yep.
But they're pretty neat little consoles.
Little.
Yeah, little. The one thing that's always got me about them that is the shape of them is really weird. It like slopes downward.
It's got to have a little bit of that 90s tude.
Oh, yeah. It's completely got the 90s tude, being that it's nomadic.
Yeah.
A fun fact about these, the battery pack, it has a battery pack that is detachable. The battery pack goes on up there. You can find... you could find just the Nomad without the battery pack, probably pay about $40 more than the battery pack itself. So they're pretty hard to find. It's just like a little battery pack that you can snap on and off. It holds, I think,
a gazillion batteries.
It's 6, I think. Yeah, 6 double A's. And I think it's got maybe 3 to 4 hours life. Not much. It's backlit. That's one good thing about it.
Yeah, that and the Game Gear.
Yeah, that was one thing Sega definitely had up on everybody back in the day. Was being able to have that.
Nintendo didn't do that until the SP, Game Boy Advance SP.
And that was always one of my major complaints was, you know, you go on a trip or something, especially at night, you're not fucking playing your Game Boy.
Go through like a tunnel like those I have up in Nashville or something?
Yeah. You got the Sega shit, though. You're good. Sega does what Nintendo don't.
Yep.
But then again, that's...
bankruptcy.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's one of the reasons Sega shit was a little more expensive and didn't get as quite of a big as a foothold as Nintendo did.
Now, back then, the handhelds were certainly more expensive, but the consoles were cheaper, weren't they?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Up until the Saturn, I think.
Yeah, you could get a Genesis brand new toward the end of its
deal. That was one of its big selling points.
$79.99, and then the Nomads brand new were like $150 to $200. I remember my grandparents paid.
That's damn near like $300 these days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool though. I suggest you check them out. They're a little bit harder to find.
They make the old brick Game Boy look like Gary Coleman.
Yeah, no shit, dude. Like, it's a large handheld console, and then with the battery pack on back and having a cart in on top, it's quite a thing. You know, that's one thing Sega didn't really handle well, though, because I was last weekend I broke the Sega CD and Sega 32X out and was playing 32X, and there's another YouTube channel or show I watch that's talking about it, and they summed it up best. When you have your Sega CD and your 32X all hooked up to your Genesis, it has three AC adapters and two wires that run out to the TV.
That's the tower of power.
It's a fucking life support system.
Yeah.
Like, literally. Like, you know, because both of those released, or, well, not the Sega CD, but Sega 32X, that's a whole episode on its own, because that was a really terrible last ploy to get some shit done.
Oh, yeah.
That's why it stuck around for a whole fucking 4 months. I mean, it was longer than that, but it seemed like 4 months. Which isn't a bad thing. 32X sucks 32 dicks. But that's it. That's all I had for Watching Your Hands. Something short and sweet. Wanted to give the Sega Nomad a shout out, I guess.
Shout out to my fam, Sega Nomad.
Do not ever say that fucking again.
I feel dirty even saying that word.
If you say lit AF, I'm going to light you on fire with my fucking cheap whiskey and lighter.
That'll do it. That's some rough shit.
Horn shit.
Oh, Heaven Hill scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Lyle is scraping the bottom of the barrel this week. Lyle had a car payment, a mechanic payment, a house payment.
I fucking understand.
An don't blow your head off bargain with space deity moment.
In past 2 weeks, I've sent out about $1,200 in bills. I fucking hate it.
It is terrible.
One day I want to work for myself, not for other people. I haven't had a chance to play a lot of the games, and the games I have played has been Minecraft and arcade games. We're going to talk plenty enough about arcade games next week, so tonight I just kind of want to talk about building a MAME cabinet. So I've learned a whole lot in the process. I finally have got it almost completely done. You know, when I go home tonight, I'll probably finish setting up the software to have all my four of my controllers working on my four-player MAME cab. So, figure we just, you know, shoot the shit about that, and maybe any listeners, they've been considering building their own MAME cab, then...
You might can take some from this.
Yeah, there's a few mistakes that I made that I never found on the internet to know about, so I'm sure there's something here.
I own a MAME cab as well, and the one I had was pre-made when I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had certain little issues with it along the way, so I've learned a fair amount myself about how to try to fix one. Not as in-depth as you have, but so yeah, I'll be able to interject a little bit.
I didn't build mine from scratch. Mine was, I still haven't identified the fucking cabinet because it is some off company somewhere. Like the only traces I found on the internet of it are other people trying to figure out who made these cabinets. You can't fucking find it. There's no identification in the cabinet. There's nothing.
It's a really cool looking cab.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Z-back, except the top of it is flat. So it doesn't come down at an angle at the top, but the bottom half of it has a Z to it. So it looks kind of almost quality from the back. But, you know, if you're thinking about building a MAME cab, the first thing you really need to consider is what kind of games you want to play with it. What's the purpose of this thing? Because, you know, people think it's a MAME cabinet. It can do fucking everything.
It can.
Well, it could, but it's going to be fucking miserable doing it. I got a fairly large control panel. It's a four-player cabinet. And, when I first started dreaming this thing up, I'm like, oh, I'm going to put a trackball on here. I'm going to put a spinner on here. I'm going to put pinball buttons on the side. You know, all this bullshit. And once I got down to actually, like, designing the control panel for it, I saw this shit be a crowded clusterfuck. And if you look on the internet, if you look up the search the word crap MAME, you'll find other people who have done the same thing. It's way too many fucking buttons. There's too much shit crammed in a small space to where it looks like shit. It's miserable and it don't work worth a shit. So you gotta think about what do you want to do with it. You just want a simple two-player, like what you got, two-player MAME cab? That's fine for 99% of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
If you want trackball games, you can slap a spinner on a panel, not much problem. They don't take up much space. I almost did up mine, but I had enough on my plate.
Spinners are also fucking, for a MAME cabinet, very pricey.
Well, you're going to about $100 for a decent spinner. Not adding the grand scope of things, it's not too far out there, but it's still a chunk. But yeah, the purpose of it. If you want to, I would suggest if you have the room and the means to do it, if you want it both to play trackball games and main games, like normal arcade games, get two cabs. You'll do yourself a huge favor in doing that. And one of the purposes, if you ever watch anyone play something like Golden Tee, they Superman it.
Yeah, they beat the shit out of that trackball.
Right. They surf their palms across it like fucking Superman flying. And you got to have the right angle of your monitor or people will be punching it.
I seen a video of a guy breaking two of his fingers playing Golden Tee one time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like sliding up into the front plexi on the monitor.
Yep.
And like just fucking breaking. I'm talking like snapping his ring finger, middle finger.
Yeah. And that's another thing. If you're doing a trackball cabinet, you want plexiglass. You don't want real glass. Because
you'll go through it.
Yeah. And real glass is nice, but I prefer plexi because, especially I have kids. I don't want my kids ramming their head through a fucking glass panel because they'll figure out a way to do it. I don't even know, but they'll do it. So I want to kind of just skip the trackball stuff because I don't have a whole lot of experience with it. I've only set up this 4-player cabinet. So you got to think about like what kind of buttons and style do you want. Do you want it to be like a Japanese cabinet? Because most Japanese cabinets have the lollipop or ball top joysticks. Most American ones have what you got there, those bat tops.
Mm-hmm.
I've grown kind of partial to the Japanese ones.
That's what I'm going to upgrade mine to.
I've also got the Japanese style buttons, which are convex buttons. Convex are the ones that are not caved in. The American ones, again, like what you got there, Lyle, is the concave ones. Where it has a dimple for your fingers. And I do like the concave ones. It's hard to find those with where you can take them apart and label them. And it's hard to find those with LEDs. That's something else you got to think about. Do you want to light this thing up with LEDs or not? I started off wanting everything lit LED, and once I finally lit it up, I'm like, it kind of looks like shit.
LED is tasteful in certain ways, like, I like it like on a Simpsons cab or a Ninja Turtles cabinet. Yeah. You got the corresponding color to the character. But just like to have it, I've seen them where they have everything LED lit and it's all randomized colors. And I'm just like, man, it looks cheap.
I had mine where like all my player one's red on my cabinet. Player two's blue. 3 is yellow. 4 is green. And had all my LEDs matched color. But even then, it don't look that great. And the main reason is because I have labels on my buttons. And it makes the labels look like crap. Unless you get the labels like screen printed on the button plunger itself, it's gonna show every minor piece of fuzz flaw in it that there is. Because I mean, I printed the shit off on shipping labels and put it on there, and that's what I read online. That's the best way to do it, and it didn't turn out that great. So I'm just not gonna do LED lit. You also, with LED, if you want LED light the joysticks, there's a huge headache and keeping your joysticks from twisting too much to break the wires to the LED. Because you got to drill out a hole in your ball tops for the LED to rest in, and the wire runs through the shaft of the joystick. I tried running fiber optic up through there and then attaching the LED to the end of the fiber optic. It lost too much light. It was so dim you could barely tell they were on. So
yeah,
that didn't work. I hoped it would. There are slip rings. You can buy slip rings. And these are devices that will allow the wires to twist indefinitely without ever getting tangled up. The thing is, they're $20 each. And that's on the low side. $20 each, and you're going to, like a 4-player cabinet, $80. So it wasn't worth that to me. Two players, maybe. 4 players is too much.
Yeah, that you talking about adding some shit up real quick. Oh, yeah.
You also got to think about what kind of games you're playing. If you want to play a little bit of everything, I suggest doing what I did. I have a 4-player cab, but you can do this with a 2-player also. There's this thing out called a servo stick. You can find it on ultimark.com, I think. It's fucking nifty. I love it. It's a 8-way stick that has a swappable restrictor plate on it, which is fairly common. But the restrictor plate has a servo motor attached to it, which is controlled by a little USB board that I plug into my computer. And I have my my front end, I'm using Mala, but I have my front end set up where if I start a four-way game, it switches to four-way. If I start an eight-way game like Street Fighter, it turns that restrictor plate to eight-way. So you got to think about that. I think that's really the best way to go, is set player one up as that, because what two-player four-way games are there that need very few?
Yeah, not one that I can think of right offhand.
You typically only need one four-way stick.
Yeah, because every Donkey Kong, Galaga, Pac-Man, it's all one stick on the machine.
And so there are hacks out there where you can do two different sticks, so you don't have to swap. But, you know, these things are, for the whole setup, it's $70 a stick. So go with one.
Yeah, most definitely.
And I'm glad I have that one set up. So if you're doing this a two-player cab, you have player one set up as the servo stick, two set up as just an eight-way, and that'll cover practically every game out there. What else is there? You got to think about your administrative buttons too. I think less is more is kind of better. I had a few more of mine than I wish I could have got away with less, but at the same time, I need them. My administrative buttons are basically like exit the game, enter the game, things like that. My admin buttons are just exit, pause, volume up, and volume down. I got to have them volume buttons because my cabinet's kind of in the back half of my living room.
Yeah.
So it's kind of competing with the TV. If someone's watching TV, I'm going to have to turn my volume down. So, if the kids have the volume blaring, I don't be able to yell at them, turn that goddamn thing down.
Yeah.
Pause buttons because, you know, I have kids. I have a dog now.
A weak bladder.
Yeah. Sometimes shit happens and it's a lot easier to sit pause real quick if I'm in the middle of a long game rather than having to exit or just sit there and run off and let my guy die or whatever. So I've seen people with a shitload of admin buttons, and I think less is more. That's my opinion, though. I've seen it done many different ways. Another thing with the purpose is what kind of display do you want? You can go with the classic CRT tube type or the LCD. LCD is way easier. I'm going to say that right off the bat.
Yeah.
And in some cases, it can look as better. Good. Or, yeah, in modern games, it would look better. The older games, though, I still prefer the tubes. By old games, I mean like 90s, 80s, 70s. The tube TVs, they capture that arcade feel. But God, getting the CRTs working right with MAME and everything is a fucking huge hassle. Because you can't just plug your computer right into 99% of the tube TVs out there, tube monitors out there. Like mine had the JAMA hookup, so I had to hack apart my JAMA harness and go through that way. I could have went straight into the back of the monitor, but I wanted to do less soldering than I had to, so
yeah.
I just hijacked that JAMA harness that was already fucked up anyways. So for me to go to my CRT tube, I've got a 25-inch Wells Gardner tube of mine. I had to get an Ultimark, again, same guy who made the servo stick. He makes a lot of good stuff. I really recommend that site. I had to get his VGA to CGA converter, which is another little board. You plug your computer monitor into the monitor cord on one side. Mm-hmm. The other side has leads that you screw into. You screw the wires into it for your CRT. It's just five wires, or sometimes six, depending on your monitor. You got red, green, blue, voltage, and ground. And sometimes, red, green, blue, sync, and ground. Not voltage. The whole point of that thing is it adds a little more juice through the signal, because the signal you send off from a video card isn't strong enough for these old CGA tubes.
Yeah.
So that was a headache. And not only that, but computers don't put out the right refresh rate for those tubes. They're lower refresh rate, so you have to get hacked drivers. Or you can just go the simple, more expensive route, and also the less efficient route by that same guy, the Ultimark site. He sells these hacked almost custom ATI Radeon cards. Mm-hmm. He calls them arcade VGA, and they're pretty much plug and play. You put that in your computer, hook your arcade monitor up to it, and it works. It's like $120 for this card, though. You could just get like a $20 ATI Radeon card off eBay, and you can hack the drivers yourself, and then it'll work that way. That's what I did. And you can get a much more powerful card doing it that way, because his cards are a lot older.
Yeah.
So you got all those hoops for the CRT. Not only that, the CRT is very limited on resolution. Like the standard resolution, the highest you can go is 640 by 480 interlaced. So that's only 320 by 240p.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to get some Steam games running on it, and it's a fucking bitch trying to get shit to put that resolution that low. So for MAME, it works. Other shit, it becomes more and more of a headache. And another thing on MAME working for it is you could just plug MAME up to it, and for the most part, it would work. It'll stretch, like any other monitor, MAME will stretch out the picture to fit your monitor in resolution. And it does look bad for the most part, but I figured if I'm going through all this trouble for using the CRT, I'm going to use Groovy MAME. Groovy MAME is a special version of MAME that people have set up that automatically switches the resolution of the game and its refresh rate and its mode lines and all this bullshit. So you get a near arcade perfect picture and sound out of it, which I really love that. I couldn't hardly tell you the difference between the arcade Burger Time and my version of Burger Time on MAME. It's that fucking close. But again, it adds a whole nother fucking layer of complexity and bullshit you gotta learn. I know more about refresh rates stuff on these old CRT TVs than I care to fucking know. I finally got the one set and tweaked in to where almost all of my games work perfectly on there. I finally found one game that didn't. It was the WWF fighting game that set up kind of like Mortal Kombat. I don't recall the name of it. It's Midway. The menu even looks like Mortal Kombat.
It came out on PlayStation, I remember. Yeah, it was like the digitized characters and all that.
It was a fun enough game, but when I started up, the screen scrolls, which is a symptom of refresh rates not matching what my monitor can do. So, there's that. LCD is by far easier. If it fucks up, LCDs are cheap enough. Throw another one in there. These CRT TVs, you're going to have to figure out how to solder the shit, install cap kits. I got to replace the flyback on mine. It's got the original flyback in it, which is basically the transformer for it. So it's a fire hazard. Those things are known for going up in flames. So I do not leave that thing on unattended because I don't want my house to burn down. You also got to be careful of voltages with these things. Every time I go back there and mess with it, I have to discharge the monitor.
That's one big thing they tell you when you start learning the fuck arcades. You go back there and start grabbing the coils on the back of that monitor, it will kill you.
And there's also the fact that it's not as clear and cut as it would seem. Like, you unplug your arcade cabinet. I have a screwdriver with a electrical wire around it, and I attach the other end of the wire to the chassis of the monitor, and then I stick it under the anode wire and usually get kind of a pop where it discharges. Boy, you get back there fucking around and I'm still getting shocked. Like, nothing major, but enough I know it's there, because a lot of these old monitors, you got to discharge them 3 or 4 times before all the charge is gone. Like, you got to discharge it, wait a few minutes, discharge it again. That first one's the most important because it's the one with the lethal voltage. But after that, it'll build up a little bit of a charge and it'll get you. So overall,
safety first.
If I had to do it again, I would probably just put an LCD in there. But I went the CRT route. You also want to decide if it's going to be coin operated or not. I like the option of both. I eventually want to get tokens and have mine completely, where I can just do completely coin operated if I want to. I have coin up buttons on my control panel for each player, but I would like the option of just not using those and using tokens. Just make it feel like an arcade game.
Yeah.
I only have a 2-player coin door of mine. I have to get a 4-player coin door to make it work with all the games. If I can't have it work with everything, I'm not going to fuck with it.
Yeah.
And 4-player coin doors aren't cheap.
No, they're not
like
at all.
$140 used. So that's just on the back burner. You also got to think about the art and what all you want on the cabinet. Are you building the cabinet from scratch? Are you repurposing an existing cabinet? Also, on that note, I really don't recommend getting the old classic games. That's just it's a shame. Don't take a Donkey Kong and put.
Yeah, don't do that.
I mean, I'm not one of these purity nuts. I was like, oh my god, you tore up a Tekken cabinet. I'm like, who gives a fuck?
It's Tekken.
Yeah, right.
Don't take one of those Golden Age games, though.
Right, yeah. Don't break down a Berserk. Don't break down the Donkey Kong. Don't break down a Pac-Man, you know? At the very least, if you can, sell it and get you a shitty cabinet to work with.
Yeah, there's plenty of just bullshit cabinets that don't have anything out there for you to find.
Yeah, like mine, I don't have any remorse for breaking down this. It wasn't even an original NBA Jam. I've been told by certain elitists that I was wrong, but they can eat a dick.
Yeah, they know all.
There's 3,000 NBA Jams in Alabama, probably. It's not a rare cabinet. It was not really that much of a classic. I had way more memories of it on console than arcade. I mean, I think it plays better on console, to be honest. But yeah, you got to think about your art and the fame of what you're doing. Do you just want to do kind of a generic like MAME art, or like I went with a straight up Godzilla theme of mine. I like it, but you got to be really meticulous with it. I made some mistakes. I mean, measure every fucking point in the machine before you get your graphics printed. I got my graphics printed off by our buddy Josh Duncan, the founding father of the podcast. So he's with the graphic guys in Hansville. He did a good job printing that stuff off. One thing I learned, and it's one of the things I never knew about it because it's just not on the internet to find. If you're going to use plexiglass to cover your control panel, you got to get your art printed on a matte vinyl, not glossy vinyl. And the reason being, when you have that glossy vinyl and that plexiglass on top, everywhere your buttons are compressing the two, it looks wet. And it's not wet, it's just where they stick.
The gloss.
Yeah.
The actual gloss finish.
Yep, where they stick together.
Presses against the glass.
So if you're doing plexiglass, get a matte finish. Or there's also people online who will print on a really strong polycarbonate finish vinyl, and that stuff's supposedly strong enough that you don't need plexiglass for it. I like plexiglass. Most of the arcades I remember had plexiglass on them.
So I
dig the plexiglass. For cutting plexiglass, I'm assuming if you're rebuilding or making your own arcade control panel from scratch, you're going to have to make plexiglass to match your control panel. And the best way I found to do it is you got to get a couple of C-clamps or some kind of clamps to clamp the piece of plexiglass to your control panel. Everywhere you get a hole, you're going to have to drill like a half-inch starter hole. And what you do is you get a router with a flush trim bit. The flush trim bit is it's like a normal router bit, but on the end it's got a bearing on the end of it. So it can't cut past where that bearing is butting up against something. So I would drill the starter holes in all my buttonholes and joystick holes, and then I would stick the router in there and just route out all my holes, and I could route out the whole profile of the thing and it matched damn near perfectly. So
nice.
That's the best way I know how to do it. Not a whole lot much more to go into it. You gotta decide what emulators and front end you want. Everyone, you know, who's into MAME, the holy grail is Hyperspin. It's good. It looks great, but
you gotta have a beefy fucking PC.
You gotta have
a beefy
PC, and holy shit, how much work it takes to set up Hyperspin. Not worth it, in my opinion.
If you were going to do Hyperspin, the best way to do it, I think, is on eBay. You can actually buy
pre-made hard drives
that's already got it loaded on.
It's illegal, but you know, fuck it. Name's illegal, or not? It's not technically illegal, but
it's frowned upon.
Playing games you don't own is illegal. So its use is. I use Mala. It's old.
That's what I have.
It's so old that it's almost to the point it's antiquated and it's hard to use. I've read good things about Launchbox. I haven't got a chance to try it yet. I may end up swapping over. But I knew all I had the plug-in to work with my servo stick, which is really important to me. The ability to, for it to swap that servo stick back and forth on games, yeah. That was a huge deal to me. So, and it was simple, so I like Mala. It could be a little more user-friendly, but it works. I know there's, Maimwa, that's almost like Mala. Thinking what else is there?
Mama 32, I think, is one of them.
Yeah.
I've seen something like that.
Or, yeah, MAME 32. It's also all million different versions of MAME out there.
I thought I saw one called MAMA something. I could be wrong. There's a fucking shit stack.
Yes, there is. There's a million different versions of MAME. MAME is the main arcade emulator. But then there's, like I said, I'm using Groovy MAME, which is sets up all my resolutions and stuff. Right, there's Wolf MAME, which is like the only MAME you can use if you want to start doing like high scores and stuff. I'm not too concerned with that. I'd rather have my near arcade perfect play than setting scores that I'm never going to achieve.
Oh yeah.
And like I said, there's more than I could even tell you about. Then there's other emulators you want to emulate, SNES, NES, and all that stuff. The more you want to do, the more you're going to probably favor the newer shit. The newer shit handles the multiple emulators better, from what it seems. I'd say you want to put some thought into the PC. MAME runs best on Intel. So they programmed it optimized for Intel. So you definitely want to go Intel. There's almost no reason not to. At a minimum, you can buy like a $30, $40 Dell Optiplex off eBay, because all these businesses have like these Core 2 Duo PCs go off. Their leases are up, so they're selling these things dirt fucking cheap, and they're perfect for this kind of thing. It's not powerful enough to play, say, NFL Blitz, which, you know, good luck doing that anyways.
That's kind of the computer I got in mind. It's a lower-end one, and it handles all my old stuff.
Yeah.
Flawlessly.
I've got a, I started off with an Optiplex with a Core 2 Duo, and then while I was browsing eBay, I found an i5 on sale for, like, cheaper than I got the Core 2 Duo, so I jumped on it. Ended up, the guy was just, I don't know if his account got hacked or something, but it was a fault cell. So me and some other people, we lost out on that, but eBay refunded us. And I ended up getting a Lenovo workstation that was a i3, but it was newer than the i5 and just as fast. So it had better processing technology on it and stuff. So it still came out about the same.
Nice.
And it does pretty good. So I won't have any complaints there. I've seen people just build monster fucking PCs for this. I'm like, man, it's overkill for 99% of the stuff you have. Even with, like, Gauntlet Legends, Gauntlet Dark Legacy, and NFL Blitz, games I would fucking love to play. If you had, even with a PC good enough to play those, they're buggy as fuck. And you can't ever play them just 100% perfect because since the people who program these ROMs and MAME itself, their goal is accuracy in the programming. And to achieve the accuracy, it's at the cost of efficiency, I guess you'd say. Because it's meant to be able to put that ROM back onto a PCB and run it just like an arcade. It's basically archiving the ROM. So your computer's having to emulate all that stuff, and it suggests that to run like Gauntlet Legends, you have a 10 gigahertz processor. Good fucking luck.
Jesus.
But yeah, I can't think of any other like tips and tricks I've picked up. Just if you want to undertake this task, there's
more to it than what you think there is.
Yes. God, I've put so many hours into this thing. I'm so ready to be completely fucking done with it. So, there's that. This is the reason why when you see MAME cabinets go on sale on Craigslist or eBay, there's usually a grand or more. It's not because the market value of all the parts is near worth that. It's because all the hours.
The labor-intensive shit you gotta do.
Yeah, pretty much it's a money pit. You're gonna put more work into it than it's gonna be worth. Because no one pays those prices.
Mm-mm. It's a fun thing to own, though.
Yeah.
I do enjoy owning an arcade cabinet and just being able to fly off on a, you know, like for this weekend, I'm going to get in here and practice a shit ton of Miss Pac-Man.
Yeah, I'm going to work on my Burger Time game.
So it's definitely a fun thing to have.
Yeah.
If you got the money, hell, just go ahead and buy you one that's already made and save yourself a hassle.
If you're going to spend that much money, like over a grand, I suggest just forgetting Craigslist. Go to like X Arcade or Monster Arcade, something like that. Some company that does this. And you can easily get more for your money than that.
Oh, yeah.
And those are, like, they got all the bells and whistles, like big screen TVs and all kinds of shit. I mean,
you can get cabinets with cup holders and shit.
Yeah.
And
so, I think Monster Arcade is probably at Southern Fried again. They were last year.
They had some really cool stuff. I actually planned on purchasing a couple joysticks from them this year.
Oh, yeah, hopefully. That reminds me. I did want to talk about the controls, what kind of encoder you want. They're by far the most popular, and I think it's what you use, is an IPAC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, IPACs are a keyboard encoder, and they're probably, I mean, they're popular for a reason. They're really fucking good, because they just do what they're supposed to do. They're reliable, they're really versatile, because you can set up shift keys, and so you can have a shit ton of buttons set up. The only reason I didn't go with the IPAC is because I've read, you know, a decent amount of people have problems with them on four-player cabinets. When you got that many inputs coming in at once, it can
lags your computer out, kind of.
Yeah, it's what they call keyboard ghosting. Like, it's really just lagging or even non-recognition of key presses. Two-player cabinets, I've seen zero fucking complaints about that, so it's perfect for that. I went with the Zenmo, and I got one right here. I got my fucked up one right here. Tiny little PCB. It's about 2 inches long by 1.5 inches. It hooks up via USB and has, let's see, like 20, about 40 different pins on it that you plug your buttons into. And these little boards are actually two different controllers on one board.
Nice.
And they're like $30 for the board and all the hookups. So for mine, I have two, so it's $60 total for all the hookups and shit I need. That's really good. The only complaint is, again, it's in my hand here. They don't have the best quality control because it's a Chinese made board, and that's the thing with stuff you get from China is a lot of times they make good stuff, but there's no quality control. So instead of here, most companies here have like a, you know, no more than 1% reject rate on stuff.
Yeah,
in China it could be 10%, and no one gives a fuck. So,
they don't have agent number 314
right
inspecting every fucking item that comes down a conveyor belt.
So I got a replacement for this thing, and it worked fine when I tested it. I still got to finish setting it up tonight, but I really like this route. The only problem with this is not all PC games recognize it. Most do, but like the main game, the only game so far that hasn't is this. I talked about it for Hot and Steamy a few nights ago. Crawl, the little dungeon crawler that they're setting up for arcade cabinets and stuff. It won't recognize it. Won't recognize my inputs on it. I emailed them. Maybe they'll eventually. It's still an early access game, so there's time. So, you know, just got to keep that in mind. The IPAC will work with every fucking thing because it's keyboard. So, I would say if you're not going with four players, go with an IPAC. It'd probably be the better thing. And there's more controller encoders out there than this. This is what I ended up going with.
Nice.
Let you check. Yeah,
let me give it a little look. See here.
But yeah, that's it for the arcade walkthrough. Hopefully, you have found something useful in here.
I don't really have nothing else because I've played Ms. Pac-Man and Minecraft.
Yeah.
This week.
Yeah, we've been playing a little Minecraft together.
Yeah, we have a Realm server going now. Brandon built Sauron's Tower?
Baradir. It's by no means a replica. I just got the big flaming eye on top and some big lava columns and stuff, just gnarly looking shit.
I built a restaurant called the Stone Oak Eatery.
Nice.
And I'm building a bar right now, a brew station.
Sweet.
But short and sweet on the topic this week.
Yeah.
That's all right.
We had a lengthy, girthy one last week.
Yeah, that we did.
I don't even have a hot and steamy tonight.
I don't have anything prepared tonight either. just because it's been a long week. I've had all kinds of bullshit happening, to be honest. And
yeah, I got sick over the weekend too. That sucked.
Southern Fried's this weekend, so I've still got a lot of shit. I'm trying to get interviews lined up and all that, which, by the way, by the time you hear this, this will be out on Friday. Me and Brandon will be arriving in Atlanta on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So look over those guest lists we talk about. Anybody that you got a question for at Southern Fried, whether it's one of the guests or somebody that works there, anybody, let us know and we will get you an answer.
Mm-hmm.
I sent Joel an email today. We're going to try to lock down another interview with him. If you're familiar with Joel West, we did an interview about a year ago now. So go back and listen to that. But just any questions for anybody that's going to be there, get us that shit so we can ask them. We can't ask them if you don't tell us. So
mm-hmm.
feel free to tell us. We'd be mucho appreciative of it.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to this weekend.
I am too.
I think it's going to be a really good one this year. Ghostbusters tournament.
Yeah.
I heard some of the company for the new movie is going to be on hand. And
so,
old Lyle might spend the night in a slammer in Atlanta. I see, I don't know. I'm going to watch who and what I say here. I might just punch somebody in the fucking face. I don't know. I doubt it, but you never know. My emotions might overcome me at some point.
I get all jacked up watching wrestling and then just go out there and cause a ruckus.
Just, woo, put it down on somebody.
Get Melissa McCarthy in the figure four.
I have a funny thing about wrestling to interject. Emerald was sitting here with me earlier while I was getting all my stuff together. Somehow we got on the subject of wrestling. This whole, her whole entire life, she did not know that wrestling was choreographed until I told her
today. Really?
She had no idea.
That was great.
Because I was talking about my uncle used to wrestle, and I was talking about how he used to blade his forehead, where he'd slap his head and make himself bleed on command.
Yeah.
She was like, why would they do that? Why did they need special effects? And I was like, because it's choreographed. I'm like, she's like, so you know, they know who's going to win before they get in the ring? And I was like, exactly. Yeah. She was like, I can't believe that. And I'm like, I can't believe you didn't know that.
The more talented wrestlers are the ones who can sell the opponent's moves. The ones who make their opponent's moves seem damaging. Those are the better wrestlers.
It pretty much boils down to how good of a gymnast and how good of an actor you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I told her, I was like, there's nothing easy about it. I'm like, you doing them flips. And
you get legit hurt, dude.
Hell yeah. Like, that's a workout. My friend Stephen Barnett, man. The guy I want to get on for a Final Fantasy episode, he's a professional wrestler. Dude, his body creaks and bends and all kinds of, and he's a big fucking muscular dude, but, you know, he's like my age, and he's got the back of like a 60-year-old man, pretty much, because he's been fucking twisted, thrown, falling off ladders and shit, all the fun stuff.
Yeah.
But, I guess, we can get into our question
of the week.
Of the week.
Let's see, our question of the week from last week that our buddy Chase Chandler gave y'all, and I truncated it into a more meme-friendly version. So, what non-game franchise, such as a movie, book, comic, or TV show, routinely lets you down with its video game adaptations? Ricky Foster said, the games they made about the gorilla really sucked. I mean, you didn't even get to shoot the gorilla the second time. Very, very apropos, Ricky. I appreciate that.
Our buddy Mike McDaniel said, I've already answered, but I'm drunk, and I think Back to the Future needs to be mentioned. Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Back to the Future had a...
Yeah, his previous answer from last Friday said, X-Men games suck. Why? The comics and cartoon were great. They sound like the perfect thing to make great games out of. I guess they had a couple of good games, but they all had potential that was never reached. That's very true.
Heath Tynes, our old buddy from Vault Days, he said the One Piece games, absolutely terrible fighting games.
I got zero experience with any of that.
Yeah, I don't. So, I just know there's a bunch of One Up or One Piece games, but that's all I know about it. And then my buddy Nathan Earl and this is the one actually I brought to mind immediately last week. He said the exact same one that I thought. Spawn. Todd McFarlane Spawn.
Yeah.
One of my favorite comic books of my favorite comic book of all time, hands down. Huge Spawn fan. They have not done it. There was a real lackluster SNES game that sucked shit. There was a PlayStation game called Spawn the Eternal, which really sucked shit. And it had a cool premise. Like, you could actually detach limbs and fucking beat opponents with them and shit.
Oh, yeah.
But being able to actually pull that move off is like one in a fucking million.
Yeah.
And there was a really, I ain't gonna say completely terrible, as it was playable, but a so-so game, Spawn Armageddon, released on Sega Dreamcast.
Yeah.
So, they, I agree.
You can say it was terrible. It was you could play it, but it's pretty terrible. Jeffrey Hargrove said Superman 64 widely regarded as the worst game ever made apart from E.T. on Atari. Just play it and you'll see what I mean. Yeah.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah. Let's see. We have any more?
That's all I have.
We got a call?
We do have a call. The call will answer the question too, right?
Yep.
Okay. Here we go. Got a call from our good old buddy Bill.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? It's Bill again. Let's see. As far as the question, what games have let me down? Honestly, I'm going to be straight with you guys. There's too many to count, and I think we all know why. That rainbow that leads to the big giant pot of shit at the end. Anything made by LJN.
Yeah.
I mean, is there really anything worse that, you know, would ruin a game other than LJN? I mean, let's be honest. But, that's just what I got to say. But, yeah, looking forward to the next episode, fellas. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Bill.
Hell yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Other than Jaws and Maximum Carnage.
Yeah.
I'll have to say that. And I found out something, too, that I've huge Nightmare on Elm Street fan and did not know this. I watched a documentary yesterday, and I actually popped my card in and checked it out. Nightmare on Elm Street for NES was developed by Rare.
Really?
And published by LJN.
No shit. So LJN got the flack they shouldn't have got for that one.
Exactly. I did not know that, but yeah, Nightmare on Elm Street was a Rare developed game. It was one of their firsts.
Well, at least they were hiding behind the LJN label there. Didn't solely them for when they went on to make some really great games. My answer, everyone probably sees it coming. It's gonna be Godzilla. Most of the Godzilla games suck shit, and I've always just again like Mike mentioned about X-Men. It seems like such an easy game to make something awesome out of, and most of them fall flat. They just didn't do it. So yeah.
Friday the 13th was like that for me on NES, and the only reason I bring that game up is, like, you know, they have a new Friday the 13th game that's quickly coming up, and I'm kind of hoping maybe that can turn things around for that kind of deal. Because if they make a good Friday the 13th game, maybe it would open the doors for them to actually make a really good Nightmare on Elm Street game or a really good Halloween game, because, you know, I imagine, like, a Halloween game.
The Atari Halloween game wasn't good.
Well, you know, for an Atari game, it's actually enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's not bad. I just, you know, I think there's a whole category of awesome they could have, like Alien Isolation style.
Yeah.
A lot of people did not like Alien Isolation because how slow, and that's one thing I loved about
it. That's the point of
it. That fucking game kept me on edge the entire way through because you're just like, you know, somebody's playing Road Rash outside the window.
Alien never has been like the Rambo type film.
No.
So it's not, they shouldn't make a run and gun type thing. I mean, some of the ones they did like that were good, the arcade ones.
Yeah.
But for the most part, yeah, it needs to be that slow, methodical, just scary, you know?
A game, you know, using like Michael Myers or I guess the Jason game's going to be somewhat like that. You know, it could be done really well, and it could be an exciting game. They got to get a good one out there to, you know, get more of them made.
And it's like that one game, I can't remember the name of it for the life of me right now, but I mentioned it a few months ago. It's a game of some companies in the process of making, where you basically are trying to survive the kaiju attacks. You know, you're a person in these buildings that are getting fucked up by kaiju, like brand name kaiju, like Ultraman and Godzilla. So I like the premise of that, you know. Just the preview, just seeing like that epic fucking kaiju fight above from that perspective is pretty fucking sweet. So,
oh yeah, man,
I like that different take on things too. Not being the badass all the time, you know. There's a time and a place for being the badass, and some games are better off. You're the bitch.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
we need a new question. We do. And give a real pause.
Yeah, we're gonna do that. Okay. We're back with a question and a winner.
Yep.
This week's winner, Micker. What the fuck? Mr. Ricky Foster.
Yay!
Yes.
Congrats.
You have won something terrible.
No, I have to confirm it because I'm not sure if it was just the booze talking, but Jason was going to give away another indie box.
That is right. Actually, he messaged me about getting in touch with him, and he would drop it off. Dust, I think, is the name of it.
Yeah, I think so.
I forgot about that. You actually got a good game.
Yeah. I really like that answer about the fucking gorilla, because I'm so fucking tired of that goddamn gorilla.
Yeah, I mean,
I want a game where I shoot all the gorillas all the time.
Yeah, it's like, I felt the same pain as, like, not being able to kill the duck hunt dog that I didn't get to shoot that gorilla.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm going to make a game called Guerrilla Warfare, except it's not going to be spelled with a G-U-E.
And it's not going to be made by S&K.
No, it's going to be made by me, and I'm going to be shooting gorillas. All the fucking gorillas.
I would like to see you shoot all the gorillas.
In fact, instead of a bomb, you get children as bait.
So Brandon's going to go back in time and make sure the movie Congo never happens.
Or ends way differently.
We're going to invent a time machine just so we can go back and fuck with the movie Congo.
I think we just need to wipe gorillas off the planet. I mean, they're nothing but a danger.
Yep. They're just going to eat your babies.
Yeah.
I mean, never mind that your baby can climb over a fence and disappear from you for 30 minutes. It's not their fault. Babies are dangerous, but not as dangerous as gorillas.
Gorillas are the real threat.
Yep.
Did you know that ISIS is training gorillas to carry dynamite?
I hear that.
Yeah.
I hear that. They're calling them suicide sapiens, I do believe.
Yeah.
I think that's what CNN and Ronald Lump told me.
Yeah.
He said they're not of America, so we should bomb all of them.
Well, we should shoot them. We should bomb all of not America.
That's terrible. We got a phone number that you should call.
We never asked our new question.
Oh, shit.
Got a new question for you. What arcade games took the most of your quarters as a child and why? I mean, like, you just had to play them.
What's the game that you've willfully pumped the most quarters into?
What game ran your piggy bank dry as a child?
Hell yeah. I got an answer for that already, but I'll have to wait and give that to you next week.
We'll be talking all arcades next week, so I figured that was apropos there.
Indeed. We got a phone number that you can call your answer into.
Yep.
682-777-GOOD.
Yep. Don't sound too excited about there, Law.
I'm sorry.
I'm tired.
I've been awake since 4:30 this morning, so I'm kind of like burning out.
Yep.
Here's a quirky little reminder about our phone number. 682-777-GOOD. Now that you're all deafened.
I get it in post edit.
It's okay. Call us, though. We like to hear from you. And just keep in mind, the more you call, the more chances usually you got of winning something. Because we like to hear your voice instead of reading your voice. It gets kind of odd to me for everybody we know to like read their message. And I try to read as their voice in my head, you know. And I'm like, would this person pronounce this? Fuck them. They do pronounce it this way today.
I am putting words in your mouth, motherfucker.
My speech discrepancies will bleed over into what I'm thinking you speaking like. Sounds. Makes no sense. I need to go to bed and stop drinking beer.
Or drink more beer.
Yeah. Wake up with diabetes.
Little beetus never hurt nobody. That's a very American can of beer out there.
It is. I'm drinking Budweiser that I don't usually drink, but these were kind of a gift, so I'm not going to turn down free beer.
I don't know.
But Budweiser now...
That's un-American.
Now says America.
Yeah.
On the can. And I notice I also have a Keystone Light.
Yeah, the Keystone Light there is all like Uncle Sam Dell.
Yeah. They're like, we want you to get drunk and not notice what's really happening.
We want you to get drunk and get pissed off about bathrooms and a gorilla.
You know, this the next logical step for this is now we're going to have bathrooms that gorillas can also use without children.
Safe zones for gorillas in the bathrooms.
And like, we're going to need gorilla-free children's bathrooms all across America.
Yeah.
The change needs to happen.
I can't wait for everyone to get pissed over something that will never affect them. The next thing that everyone's going to get pissed off over that will never affect them in their lives.
I'm so mad because NASA announced that there's going to be a meteorite that hits the Earth in 3,916.
You know,
good luck trying to stick around and see that
shit. Speaking of NASA, this is... neither here nor there, but I saw a Craigslist ad, some guy selling the only original Mario versus cab in the world. The only in the world. So I wasn't sure about that. So I called NASA and I was like, hey, is there any like Mario cabs on the moon? And they're like, nope. And I'm like, well, fuck. I guess this guy's right.
That literally is a...
No, it's not. It's full shit.
I'm saying that's an actual Craigslist ad.
Yes, yes.
That's kind of like the...
And it's beat the fuck. He's trying to sell it for $4,000.
Oh, I got to look this up and berate this guy. I seen a female on one of the online game pages the other day post her Atari with 20 games, like new, $500 worth.
I don't think I saw that. Yeah.
And I was just like, good luck. You're going to have that Atari for 30 more fucking years.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we're sorry we're kind of ill-prepared, but long week, a lot of shit to come this weekend that we still got to prepare for. Those questions for anybody at Southern Fried, like I said, if you hear or you see somebody there that you'd like to know something about or just anything you'd like us to ask them, let us know, and we will get that shit this weekend for sure. Call us, follow us, like, share.
Yeah.
All that shit. GoodOldGamers.com, Good Old Gamers Podcast, iTunes, reviews. You want to leave us any of that shit? Answer our question. Call us. Tell us what you like about us. Tell us what you don't like about us.
Yep. Tell us to go eat a dick.
Tell us to eat a dick or tell us you're going to suck our dicks. Either one. You know, we're fine with both.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eating or getting. I mean,
as long as there's dicks involved,
you're still getting.
Feel free to tell us you're gonna knock us off the fat people scooter at Walmart.
Yeah, and hit our asses. Giz Wizard 1487, if you're listening, I really hope you're done drinking your creatine shake and pumping Mad Iron with Conan the fucking Barbarian long enough to berate us again. You know, you just had a movie come out, and...
He probably got arrested for masturbating in that theater.
Well, BonerFactoryFilms.com certainly served their purpose.
Yeah.
Next, you can just go see Ghostbusters and beat your pud to willful disdainment across Hollywood. God damn it.
Jack your dick as you get pandered to by Hollywood.
Isn't that all they're good for?
It's about...
Anywho, do all that stuff. Check us out. And you'll be hearing soon as the Good Old Gamers this next coming weekend. By the time you're hearing this, like I said, we'll be at Southern Fried Game Room Expo 2016. Cannot fucking wait.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a breath of fresh air.
Yep.
But until then, you want to sign our asses off?
Game over, man. Game over.
Game over.
Please don't go. The drones need you. They look up to you.